Hey, super friends, this is Elena, and I'm here to say... No, I'm only joking. I'm not going to bust out a rap song like your Tio Pepe from Sunland Park. But what I am going to do is tell you about another way to support us and the show. Every week, we broadcast a new episode. 52 is the amount of episodes that we released last year. The number of bonus episodes that we released was 1. Many more could have been recorded. For only $2 a month, that's just 6 cents a day, you can receive our episodes a week early and ad-free. Join online and Tio Pepe will personally send you a welcome kit with your free stickers. Your donation says, we are here to help you. Please log on right now at patreon.com/technicallyaconversation.
RRR is a 2022 Telugu language Indian action film that first came to the attention of Western audiences when their Netflix trailer featuring almost comical, over-exaggerated action and special effects scenes went viral. We took a chance on it and were pleasantly surprised. The movie had a mission, a romance, friendship, betrayal, redemption, and more singing and dancing than we could have ever imagined. It was a non-stop roller coaster ride with amazing character development and a lot of heart. Today, we will review this movie and discuss the plot and many of the things that we enjoyed about the movie, the action and fight sequences, and the crush our two female co-hosts had on one of the actors and his mustache on this episode of Technically a Conversation. You're listening to Technically a Conversation, a podcast where we share an interesting topic or story with each other and hope you find it interesting as well. I'm one half of your host, Jose, and I'm joined today by my lovely co-host, Isela and Elena. How are you doing today?
Doing fabulous. How are you?
Doing good.
So does that mean that Isela and I are half of a half?
Yes.
We're half of a half. I'm doing great too, though, by the way.
Good to hear. Today, we are also thrilled to be joined by one of our favorite super homie super friends and our newest patron, Eli. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. Thank you guys for having me again.
Burr, 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 burr. Air horns.
Now, you've been on the show before when we did the Velocipastor episode. For those that aren't familiar with the episode, tell us a little bit about yourself, particularly your taste in cinematic masterpieces.
All right, well... Well, I kind of like dumb movies like Velocipastor. They're kind of gems, I guess, to me, even though they're not that good. And I was talking to Jose, telling him I want to kind of write my own stupid thing like that too, a stupid movie like that. You know, it doesn't take itself too seriously.
What are you talking about, not that good? It was great.
Some people at work didn't think so. I tried getting to watch it.
That highbrow.
Yeah, to this day, they still don't. They didn't watch it all. They couldn't finish it.
You're like, that's why you didn't like it. You had to stick in it for the long haul.
Exactly. You got to watch it all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just don't understand and appreciate masterpieces, works of art.
Exactly. I think that's what it is. I think exactly that's what it is.
The craft of film. Once you say craft, equal it, right? That's when you get like, okay, hoity-toity.
And I'm sure it was a good $200 that was well spent for that movie. So,
right?
They shouldn't just shake it off like that. It should be sent into some festivals too.
Right.
And I think at least 95 of those dollars went to make the Velocipastor costume. So,
yeah. And making the blood. All the blood.
Right.
I still have hopes for the second one. So we'll see if that one's going to come out.
Yes, for sure. We have to do that one too when it comes out. I feel like it's tradition now.
Yes.
I'm hoping they release it in theaters. That'll be something cool. Maybe IMAX, maybe.
I just hope that they call it Velocipastor-er. You know, like a more. Yeah.
3D.
Or squared.
Square.
I still like your original title, Eli the Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
I haven't heard anything from them, so I don't think they took that idea. They're not running with it.
Oh, no. What do they know?
Their loss.
Yeah. Maybe one day.
Yeah, no, seriously, it is their loss. Oh, enough fucking around. Ready to get started?
We are ready.
Yep.
Ready.
Great. Let's get started. RRR, or Rise, Roar, Revolt, is a 2022 Indian Telugu language action film directed by S.S. Rajamouli that revolves around the fictional versions of two Indian revolutionaries, Alluri Sitarama Raju and Kamaram Bhim, their friendship, betrayal, redemption, and fight against the British Empire. The film was scheduled for theatrical release on July 30th, 2020, but was postponed due to the pandemic and was released theatrically on March 25th, 2022. The film grossed $170 million worldwide, setting several box office records for an Indian film, and is the third highest grossing Indian film of all time. RRR received universal critical acclaim for its directing, screenwriting, acting, cinematography, soundtrack, action sequences, and visual effects. It won an Oscar for Best Original Song at the 95th Academy Awards, Best Foreign Language Film, and Best Song at the 28th Critics' Choice Awards, and 6 awards, including the Best Popular Feature Film at the 69th National Film Awards. Most of us first heard of this movie when their Netflix trailer featuring almost comical, over-exaggerated action and special effects scenes went viral. Before we start discussing the movie, what did you expect before watching it, and did your opinion change after seeing the movie?
It was better than I expected. It wasn't what I was expecting. It turned out to be pretty good, actually. I was expecting something like kind of like cheesy, over the top, which it was in some parts. I was happily surprised.
Same. From the trailer, I really expected like just this over the top, almost silly type of thing. But when I was watching it, like the action sequences were actually done really well and the plot was really great and this bromance was beautiful. I was like, oh, I really like this movie. It was very different from what I thought it was going to be. I mean, of course, there was still a lot of action, but you know, it was definitely deeper than just like a lot of action.
Yeah, same. First of all, I didn't know that those clips had gone viral because this is the first time I had even heard of this movie. I guess I don't watch these kind of movies on Netflix, so it's not something that Netflix is recommending to me. So I didn't even know it existed until Jose brought it up and said, hey, Eli wants to review this movie. And the way he made it sound was like it was going to be another Velocipaster movie, like a weird whatever movie. I mean, the special effects, the money that was put into this movie really was well spent.
Yeah.
I totally did not think I was going to like it. Especially, you know, I was telling Jose before you guys got on, is that in the beginning, I thought it was a little slow and I was kind of like, oh my God. And then I saw that it was like 3 hours long and I'm like, oh my Lord, what am I getting myself into? But like, you know, I guess like a quarter into the movie or whatever, it started picking up and getting really, really badass. And I was just like, oh my God, I like this movie. And I kept on telling Antonio about it. Like, oh my God, this is so cool. And you go, blah, blah. And my opinion did totally change. I was not expecting to love this movie as much as I did.
Yeah, I think I share the same sentiment as everybody else. Based on the trailer, I originally thought that it was going to be just a regular mindless action movie with ridiculous action sequences and over-the-top special effects. I imagine it was going to have a silly or weak plot that was just an excuse to go crazy with effects and action. And after seeing it, I discovered that it was a beautiful story that pretty much had everything. There was a mission, there was a romance, there was a friendship, there was betrayal, there was redemption. There was more singing and dancing than I ever imagined. And there was a satisfying conclusion. Even though it was a 3-hour movie, like most of you said, it didn't feel that long because this movie was a nonstop emotional roller coaster. And as the story progresses, you learn more about the characters and their motivations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I was actually expecting more dancing because it's a Bollywood movie. So when I watched the trailer, I was kind of like, where's the dancing? Where is it? Which, you know, there were scenes and I enjoyed them.
Did you guys see the clip for the movie that I had originally suggested that I sent Jose for that movie?
No.
No.
No, I didn't share it with them.
It's a complete departure from this movie. Totally different.
Okay. So was it more of like the Velocipaster?
It was more like Velocipaster.
Oh, okay.
Maybe a little bit bigger budget, I think.
Okay. Maybe. No, this movie. And then you talk about the romance, but there was actually not even friendship. I really saw that as a bromance, like Isela said. It was two or three romances in there.
Well, and the part that got me was when he was staring, one of the main characters was staring at Ram, when he was staring at the necklace that he had received, or a bracelet or something. And then he was like, oh, did your girlfriend give it to you? And he's like, yeah, her name is Sita. And I'm like, who this? Like, I've never heard of her. Where's this character? I was so shocked. But of course, it's all revealed later or whatever. But yeah, I was like, what? I'm like, you spend every waking hour with this fool. What's going on?
I know. They're like going on bike rides together and stuff. Like
tandem bicycle. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't.
What's the one with the Laverne and Shirley? I was like, this is a romance.
Yeah.
Okay. And then later on, I find out, oh, it's a bromance. Okay.
Yeah.
That montage kind of went a little bit too long. Like, it kind of played it out. But like, we got the point, like, during the first 5 minutes.
Yes.
But it kept going.
Yeah, they wanted to make sure they were solidifying that they were best friends, I guess. I don't know. Just in case you didn't catch it.
I think they also wanted a goal to make it past the 3 hour mark. They're like, we got to make it longer than 3 hours. Let's really extend this out.
No, but going back to what Eli was saying earlier, the movie that he originally suggested, we couldn't find one that had any English subtitles. It was all in Indian. So that was the reason that we chose this one. And I was telling him, well, this one just based, because it did go viral last year. Just because of the trailer. The trailer was so ridiculous. The special effects and the fighting and everything. It was viral for like maybe like 3 weeks, I think. I heard about it like nonstop online. And I guess like as somebody that spends a lot of time online, you kind of notice things that are viral. So I had brought it up to Eli and I told him, well, since we can't find an English translation of this movie, would you be okay with doing RRR? And I think after he saw the trailer, he had like the same sentiment that I had. And that's why we went with this one.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys chose this one. And then just as a side, they don't speak Indian, they speak Hindi. Because it's like saying we speak Mexican. I don't know if that's insulting to them. I don't know. But just thought I would say that now.
I don't know. When I was doing the notes, it said that they spoke some other language like Tarubu or something like that. And I said, nobody's going to know what that is. So, you know, I think it'd be easier me just saying that it's spoken in Indian. But yeah, you're right. It's a different dialect.
Yeah, it's in Netflix, it does say in Hindi or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. It was Hindi, but I wouldn't have known the difference between saying Hindi or Indian, honestly. And I think we're not trying to offend anybody. Obviously, we just don't know enough about the culture and all the different dialects that they have. But I know that you said that you watched this movie in its original dialect, right? And then you had the subtitles.
Yes.
I watched it in English, like it was dubbed in English. So for me, it was kind of funny because when, what's his name? Beam, when he's talking to the English woman, I don't remember her name. Jenny. Her name is Jenny, right? They're like trying to have a conversation. But since I'm listening to the entire movie in English, he's like trying to talk to her. And then she's like, I don't understand what you're saying. And then he's like, to me, he's speaking in English, right? And he's like, I want to know what your name is. I don't know what you're saying, but my name is just Jenny. And he's like, oh, that's a really long name. I don't know if I can pronounce that or say it. And then so they're going back and forth with her saying, I don't know what you're saying. But he's clearly, to me, speaking in English, right? And I'm like, what do you mean? He's talking in English. I can clearly understand.
I didn't get that part either.
Yeah, I was also listening to it in English. So I was like, okay, he must be speaking something else because they're obviously not communicating. And he's like, well, she said, it's not ma'am, it's Jenny or whatever. Whatever it was. I was like, what? Oh my God, I can't believe he thought that. It was cute.
Do you guys think they named it triple R, like triple X?
I didn't think about that, but you know what? It could be.
Maybe.
Yeah, there was a lot of action in that one too.
Oh yeah, a lot.
The actual language is called Indian Telugu. That's the actual language that it's in. And the reason I watched it like that and then had the English subtitles is because I did try and watch it in English, but I noticed that the subtitles didn't match what they were saying.
Oh, yeah, no.
So sometimes I wouldn't catch something and I would be reading the subtitles and I was like, okay, I feel like I'm even more lost now because the subtitles were different than what was actually being said. So I said, you know what, I'll just, that way I won't be distracted by the audio and I'll just read the subtitles. So that's why I did that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was just an interpretation of what they were saying, but it was pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it was enough for it to be distracting towards me.
For you, it was enough to be distracting. Yeah.
Yeah.
For a feeble mind person such as I, it was enough to be distracting.
No, it's because you have ADHD. No, just kidding. I don't know.
It was like an OCD thing. I think it was like an OCD thing. He's like, what?
It was more OCD than ADHD. Yeah.
Probably.
I have to say, I felt like when I was watching this movie, it was a combination of a bunch of movies, a bunch of American movies that I can think of. It was like Taken meets Blood In, Blood Out, meets like a little bit of like Bridgerton with the dances and stuff like that. Not that that's a movie, but a show. It was like such an amalgamation of all these things, which are all great, by the way. I was like, oh my God, it's got all the components of all these really great movies.
Yeah.
That's probably why it was 3 hours.
Yeah. Exactly. They're trying to fit in all these plots.
Try to fit everything in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of which, that kind of leads to my next question. Have any of you ever watched an Indian film, or is this the first one you've all ever seen?
I have watched Indian films, but they're in English. So like the main characters are Indian and they talk about their culture and their religion and all that, but they're living in America. So those are the types that I have seen. Nothing like this though. Before.
Mm. Yeah, same with me.
I have watched a few, but yeah.
So would you say that this is kind of indicative of their type of style of movie, or is this something that's just unique to this movie?
No, the ones that I've seen were all very much love stories, and it's very much the same way of what we consider like the novelas, where like someone loves another person and they shouldn't fall in love, but they do. They're different, like classes of society, but they fall in love and against all odds. And then, of course, you know, at the end, the guy gets the girl and there's a beautiful dance at the end. There's an amazing wedding and there's elephants and it's gorgeous. Usually it's usually very like romantic. There's no action like that. And I've seen a handful of them, but they're all just kind of romance and really beautiful.
Yeah, they're like the cliche rom-coms for sure. Those are the type that I've seen as well.
Well, I personally thought that this movie was very beautiful. It was beautifully shot. Every shot was a work of art, from the zoomed out scenery to the extreme close-ups of objects and people's faces. Like the first thing that I thought was like, it feels like I'm watching like a Zack Snyder film, because every scene was a work of art. Everything was visually stunning and hyper-realistic. And I especially noticed a similarity in the slow motion shots, which I felt were kind of needed because there was so much going on that you almost needed like that extra second or two to be able to absorb everything that was happening.
Yeah, especially in the fight scenes.
The part that threw me off for the at the beginning, there's two segues and the animation form are pretty good. One's like, one was water and one was fire, I think. Mm-hmm. Did you guys remember those? So that kind of threw me off, even though the animation was nice. I mean, the production level on this movie was really good. It was excellent. But those transitions kind of threw me off. Like, why would they show this transition? And then they just showed like two or three of them. And then you never see him after that, or a little bit after that, but that's what threw me off.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know when they stopped after the fire and the water. They were kind of like doing this whole thing or whatever. I'm sorry, yeah. They were clasping their hands. Sorry. So forget people that are not going to watch this. But yeah, you're right. I didn't notice that. Yeah.
And that part too, well, that's later in the movie, but this, like, it reminded me of a Scorpion and Sub-Zero when that. At some point in the movie when they're kind of going like this or something, and they're holding something, and like one's fire, one's ice or something. Mm-hmm. That's what it reminded me of.
Speaking about beautiful, don't you think Raju was beautiful, Isela?
Oh my God. Yes. I was like, who's this? Also, as soon as like Ram came out and that like mustache was glorious, first of all, I don't even like mustaches. Can I just say that? His was glorious.
Yeah.
I was like, it works on that man right there.
Yeah. I had told Antonio, this man is just so handsome. Mm-hmm. But also weird thing, he almost looks like he could also be related to us.
Oh, for sure. Yes. They have like like thick eyebrows like us, dark hair, like super dark. They had like all had really great hair. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. And going back to the sections, there were four sections. It was the story, the fire, the water, and then rise, roar, revolt. Sorry, I didn't mean to distract away from how beautiful Ram was, but those were the four sections.
Oh, we're always thinking that now. That is like a, yeah, that's a 24/7 thing.
But his mustache was its own character.
It was. Right? It really was.
Yeah.
Yeah, more than anything, I had a man crush on his hair because when he came out, like you kind of got the impression that he was like held captive for maybe like 3 weeks, but he had like maybe a year's worth of hair that had grown out. And I was like, man, how does this guy have like Pantene perfect hair? And he was only in jail for like 3 months or something, or 3 weeks or something.
Yeah, his hair was still shiny and glorious. Luxurious.
For sure.
Yeah.
Ladies, you guys got to run and watch this movie for sure.
Definitely do watch it. Do not snooze on this one.
Even guys, like the whole movie is beautiful. It's almost like a comic book. Like each shot is like a work of art, literally.
I do agree. And I even thought to a point where it could be a little bit distracting. One of the times that the guys were doing the bromance montage, do you remember when they were walking side by side and in between there was this like coiled barbed wire that shot as they're exiting out? Oh my God, it was gorgeous. I was like, wow, this is a beautiful shot, to the point where I was like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to still be in the movie. Like I wasn't, after a while I was like not really watching, or maybe by then I was already tuning out. Like Eli said, maybe it was going on too long. And I was like, oh my God, it's like direction is really beautiful.
All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go over some of the plot points. These are courtesy of Wikipedia because I didn't really have time to like summarize each part of the plot. And then we can go ahead and discuss them if we have our own thoughts or whatever, or we feel like we can expand on them. So it's 1920s during the British Raj. Governor Scott Buxton and his wife, Catherine, steal a young girl named Molly from her mother and her tribe. Komaram Bhim, the tribe's guardian, disguises himself as a Muslim named Akhtar and vows to bring the girl back. Buxton's office is notified that Bhim will be coming to rescue Molly, and Alluri Sitarama Raju, who Elena and Isela are in love with, is tasked with bringing Bhim to them. He will collect a bounty if he brings Bhim back dead, or will be promoted to special officer if he brings Bhim alive.
Okay, so that was a part that I was a little confused with, because he was going around the town showing this wanted man's sketch. And he's like, have you seen this guy? Have you seen this guy? That's during their bromance montage when they're like riding their little motorcycle together or whatever. And then Bhim says, why haven't you shown me the sketch? Like, why haven't you asked me? And he's like, oh, that's right. Why haven't I asked you? And I'm like, isn't that the guy he's looking for, the guy that he's having a bromance with? So I was a little confused by that. I was like, is this intentional? He's trying to not see that the guy that he's looking for is the guy that he's building a relationship with.
That's actually like the plot point for the next part where he's showing Lachu's picture.
Oh.
But not knowing anything about this movie and seeing Ram kind of going against like his own people. Like, it reminded me of kind of like what you see here in the U.S. sometimes. Like, you see, and especially like, you know, I don't mean to offend anybody, but when I see like Border Patrol agents and they're Mexican, like, I feel like they're sending back their own people. I kind of saw that also like with Ram. He was kind of doing like a like betrayal of his own people, kind of showing off to the British Empire. That was the impression that I got initially of Ram. And I'll be honest, I hated his ass. Doesn't matter how gorgeous his mustache looked. I hated his ass for what he was doing for his own people.
It reminded me of that Office episode when Dwight gets, there's a flasher that flashes Phyllis. And you guys watch The Office?
Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah.
I haven't finished, no.
There's an episode where they draw Dwight without glasses and he's looking for the flasher, which is him, a picture of him. It's a drawing of him. That's the only thing I could think of was that. Because he's right in front of you. Like, he's right there with you. Like, how could you not tell that it's him?
Right.
But yeah, that part got me.
All right. So we'll go over to the next scene. Raju attends several independence gatherings to try and locate and capture Bhim. Beam's gullible aide, Lachu, believes Raju's ruse, and he attempts to recruit him into Beam's plot. Before taking Raju to Bhim, Raju's identity, I'll just call him Ram because it's easier to keep track of him. Lachu discovers Ram's identity and flees. Shortly after, Bheem and Ram encounter each other, unaware of their opposing alliances. While working together to save a boy from a train wreck, they form a friendship, gradually growing closer. Ram assists Bheem in courting Scott's niece, Jenny, unaware that Beam's agenda is to infiltrate Scott's residence. When Jenny takes Bheem to her residence, Bheem locates the room where Molly is being held captive and promises to free her. Ram locates Lachu and apprehends him. While being interrogated, Lachu captures and sets a banded crate into Ram. It attacks him. He then warns him of his imminent death and that the antidote is only known to the Gons. The Gons is the tribe that Bheem is from. So yes, that's what we were talking about, where Ram was holding Lachu's picture. He was trying to find who Lachu was. And of course, Bheem would have recognized him because, you know, Lachu worked for him had he seen it. But I guess like that would have ended the plot right there, you know, if he had seen that,
right.
Mm-hmm. That drawing.
Yeah, you wouldn't have had a movie for sure.
I wanted to go a little bit back before the bromance to that part where they save that kid and how they save the kid. It's just out there the way that they do it. The train part where they tie a rope to each other and then they kind of jump the bridge. That was really out there.
It was. I was like, I don't know about the physics of this all, but it looks fabulous.
Yeah. And then they kind of like locked eyes and they knew that they both had this, like, what were they, like super soldiers or something? They were like injected with some kind of like, what the heck? It's like they both knew that they had these special powers and they were just like, me, you, let's go. And they knew exactly what they were going to do.
They did that X thing. They're like, yes, that's the plan. What? They're like talking telepathically. It was so cool.
They never talk about them having any superhuman strength, but then the stuff that they do is completely different from other characters.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah, and that was confusing for sure, where they were just communicating with like sign language, I guess. But like you were saying, Eli, like, you know, some of the stunt work and everything that they did was so over the top. I was like, yeah, like I would have broken my back like the moment that I tried jumping off of that bridge with the rope or something, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Well, maybe one day we could try it.
You guys are crazy.
I think there's a bridge at Grand Paso, right?
We'll try it at the at La Llorona Lake over there in Las Cruces, dude. I think there's a little bridge there.
Oh, okay.
Twofer, and we'll see if we can catch La Llorona.
Oh, right? Instead of catching the little kid, you're going to catch La Llorona.
Also, even when they were just playing around and romance was continuing and one guy was on either side of the rope and they were playing tug of war with a bunch of kids. I was like, nobody's wearing gloves. I don't know if that just makes me like a pansy. I was like, hi, that's got to be rope burn.
And then he gets the flag and dips it in the water. And then he throws it to the other guy. And that guy covers himself and goes to the fire.
That looked dope, right? I was like, what? That's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yes.
Yeah, it was so ridiculous, but it was so awesome. I really did enjoy that scene.
Very.
Yes.
And from what I understand, Bheem and Ram were real people. I mean, of course, the story is fictionalized, but they were two real revolutionary people during the 1920s.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So it's like loosely based on, I guess like if you watch like The Conjuring and they say, oh, it's based on a true story. It's kind of like the same thing, you know, it's like based on real people. Just the story is, of course, like fictionalized.
Embellished.
Yeah, and embellished.
Mm-hmm. If they ever make a movie about me, I want it to be like that.
No, for sure.
Loosely based.
Oh, I was like, you want a mustache?
I want it. Well, that too. And I want to jump over a bridge to someone.
As long as I die, like being eaten by a shark or something, that's the only part that I care about. Like I want like a shark to like snap me in two during my death scene in the movie.
Wow. That's so gruesome. That's very gruesome.
See. That's like the most baller way you can die, I feel like, in a movie, though. Being snapped in two. So dazed, Ram approaches Bheem, who immediately tends to him. Noticing similar religious features between Lachu and Bheem, Ram deduces his true identity. However, Bheem himself divulges his tribal identity and his mission, unaware of Ram's true identity. At an event to honor Scott, Beam's men barge into his residence with a lorry filled with wild animals, creating havoc amongst the guests. The animals maul Scott's guards, allowing Beam to briefly gain the upper hand. However, Rom arrives and they fight briefly, but Beam is forced to give up when Scott threatens to kill Molly. Rom is promoted for thwarting Beam, yet he is guilt-stricken over his actions, recalling his pro-nationalistic background and his alter ego as the mole within the police. He sought a promotion to gain access to gun shipments to smuggle to his village to fulfill a promise he made to his dying revolutionary father, Alluri Venkaturama Raju, which I'm sure I butchered.
The part where not only where the dad dies, but where he sees his mother, well, because he's reliving his past, right? And he sees his mother and his younger brother get shot. Oh my God, that part had me bawling. I was crying. And Elias was like, "Are you okay, mom?" No.
I'm sad.
No. Yeah. I'm like, why? Why is this happening? Yeah, I was crying so hard when that happened.
I was already moved emotionally when the other guy had found Molly and she was kind of like caged up in that room or whatever. I was like, oh my God, they found each other. And she was like, don't leave me. Yeah. So I knew I was emotionally invested by then. So I get it, girl.
I get confused by that part. I didn't know it was a flashback. I thought it was like happening at the same time. And then it didn't click like after that it was him when he was young.
They did a couple of those flashbacks and it did make me think like it would have been nice for it to have been in a different tone, maybe like a sepia tone or something, just so that we knew for sure that it was a flashback, because there was a couple times that I was like, oh, okay, this is explaining this other thing about the shot or whatever.
Yeah, because I was like, where is this army going to attack? But it was years ago that army was getting trained. So it was kind of confusing for me.
Well, I did notice in those scenes, the colors were a little bit washed out, like they weren't as colorful and vibrant as the other scenes. But I still, at that point, I didn't know that was Rom. Like, I was like, who's this kid? And at first, I kind of thought that might have been Beam as a little kid. And maybe like that's why he became his village protector. But I really wanted to talk about that scene with the lorry filled with the wild animals, because that was the scene that went viral. And it was viral. It had to have been for like 3 weeks, because there were like the internet was just talking about that, because it was ridiculous. The way that he, you know, that he opens up the cages and there's like these tigers and lions and wild deer. Or I don't know what the hell they are.
Lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. No, just kidding.
All these animals coming out of the lorry, and like he like jumps along with them, and it's like all stylized, like the way he's flying down with all the animals. And there's this one scene where like a tiger attacks, like it's coming straight towards Beam. He does kind of like a Matrix part where like it flies over him.
Yeah.
He like picks a tiger up and throws it on one of the guards, and like the tiger, I guess, like cuts him in half. I guess that would be like the second most baller way to die, is to be snapped in half by a tiger.
Yeah. That scene was so cool.
The movie was gory. It was really gory.
Mm-hmm.
More than I thought it would. I don't know if they would show that here. Like, if it would be, like, what would they rate it? Because there was a lot of gory stuff on it, especially that scene. And then there's a part where he runs at, there's like a tiger running at him, and he runs at the tiger too, and he knocks him out with something. He thinks it's like a piece of a trailer. He's in the air, it's all slow motion, and they're going right at each other. He knocks him out.
Yeah, I was like, that's ballsy. He's just coming straight for him. And then even at the very, very beginning where Rom was holding up the giant tiger at the beginning, I was like, okay, it was really old. Who can hold that big giant tiger up? Yeah. No, yeah, but that scene was crazy to see all those animals coming out of their like respective cages. It looked really freaking badass. It also looked badass when Beam picked up one of the British guards, I guess, and he just kind of starts spinning him around like Superman and he throws him out. It was so cool.
Yeah, I was kind of watching that scene while I was trying to also watch my kid play T-ball. And I'm like looking here, looking there. And I was like, oh, a leopard's eating somebody's face.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I rewinded that scene maybe like 4 times just because it was so crazy and so over the top. I was like, okay, I need to rewatch this. And I thought that part was like where he was with Jenny or whatever. Like he thinks the guardian is about to hit her. And he notices that it's Jenny. So he like,
oh yeah,
like delicately puts her in the car, like to keep her like free from harm or whatever.
Safekeeping. Yes.
Yeah. Mm.
That was crazy when I was like, he's not going to hit her. There's cultural differences, but not like this, I'm sure.
Yeah, I felt like they had a couple of moments like that in the movies where they were like, their rage or whatever it is that they have, they were ready to do what they were going to do. And then they would like snap and they're like, oh, this is this person or this is that person. And they would not go through with whatever they were going to do.
The part that happened before that is that guy got bit by a snake and like he recovered like within a few like hours. Like he came back all of a sudden like powerful again.
Yeah, even more strong or something. Yeah. Yeah. He looked fine.
He had the antidote with the coal or something.
That part was dramatic too when he gets a little bit better and he starts punching the wall because he realizes who he was after. He was his friend the whole time.
Yes.
And he's yelling.
I was like, bro, you got a lot of sheetrock to do. Like, that's a lot of sheetrock work.
You know, when I saw that, I was also like, man, if they would have just let Ram die, all his problems would have ended right there. You know, he wouldn't have had like that adversary trying to rescue Molly. So, I was also like amazed by how quickly he recuperated. I thought that he would at least like have taken like a sick day or something after that, you know?
Mm-hmm. They all recuperated like really quickly in every scene of where they're like almost dying.
Yeah. But he had a mission.
That's what I'm saying. They're like super soldiers or something.
It was. Yeah. He had to incite a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
But then they get hurt when he's dancing and he has to get carried out. You know, after when they go to that party with Jenny and they're dancing, he has to get carried at the end.
A snake didn't take him out. It was the dancing took his friend out.
I love that part because they were saying Nacho or Macho, which meant or was, I mean, according to the subtitles, it was translating to dance. And they're like, Nacho, 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 Nacho. And I'm like, ooh, I want some nachos now.
Yeah. Yes,
yeah. Yeah, that part was very overdramatic, the dancing part.
Yeah, it was a lot. I was like, bro, they have to burn at least 3,000 calories.
I think it's safe to say that everything about this movie was overdramatic. I don't think they were subtle about anything.
Right.
Not at all, no.
No.
But the dancing was so badass, both of them, because there was like one in the middle and then one at the very end. And I'm like, is that a requirement in their culture that they need to know how to dance this? Because, man, they were great dancers.
The ending was amazing, yeah.
The fight choreography was good, too. Those two were good. They're really good at almost everything.
I know. I'm like, what other movies, especially Raj, what other movies are they in?
Can I find him in? Yeah. She's going to go through like a whole filmography of Raj.
I actually thought the same thing. Not because of Raj, but with S.S. Rajamouli, the director. I was like, I need to see what other movies this guy has made. Because if they're even like halfway as good as this one, they're going to be better than most stuff that's out nowadays. So I really want to check out some of his other movies.
I was surprised Ray Stevenson was on it. That dude just died.
Yeah.
A year ago or something like that.
Yeah. Now we know how he died making this movie.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either, actually.
Yeah, he was in, it was in The Mandalorian. What was the other one?
He played Punisher, too.
Oh, he was Punisher?
He was Punisher in one of the movies, yeah.
Yeah, no, he was in Ahsoka. He was like the main bad guy in Ahsoka.
Yes.
I think that was his last role, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
I think he died right after that.
He was also in King Arthur, Punisher, Marvel's Thor films. Was he the dad or I don't remember.
Oh, no, he played one of the Thor's friends, one of the dudes.
Oh, okay. Wow, I didn't know that he had passed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sad.
So I think since we're kind of at the middle of the movie, now would be a good time for us to take a quick commercial break. And when we return, we'll finish summarizing this movie here and giving our thoughts on it.
Hello, my name is Hallie, and I'm the host of the Morbid Curiosity Podcast, a podcast for the creepy community, covering history's most notorious serial killers, urban legends, ancient remains, historical tragedies, and obscure medical conditions. Join the creepy community anywhere podcasts are found, and let us satisfy your curiosity.
Whether you like history or not, if you care about bravery, wisdom, passion, larger-than-life characters, and some of the most emotionally intense moments in human experience, you've come to the right place. My name is Daniele Bolelli. I'm a university history professor, writer, and martial artist, and it would be my honor to be your guide in a journey to the place where history and epic collide. Despite my insanely thick Italian accent, somehow History on Fire is one of the most popular history podcasts in the world. If you give it a listen, you will find out why. So please check out History on Fire wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, I'm Darian.
I could lead Climate Giant.
And I'm DJ.
To be fair, a lot of dragons I know come from Norse mythology.
And we're two story-loving siblings who co-host the podcast Muses of Mythology. Where'd Aphrodite come from?
Well, she rose from the ocean from seafoam.
Yep.
From parts of Uranos.
Say it again?
Uranos.
Interesting.
We journey through Rick Riordan's Percy Jackson and the Olympian series, exploring how ancient myths become modern pop culture.
If you like Percy Jackson, classical mythology, or hyper-analyzing comic book movies, you'll love our show.
Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening, and until next time, don't be like Zeus.
Don't be like Zeus.
And we're back.
We're back.
Did anybody start any revolutions during our break?
I tried to, but it didn't work out.
Yeah. Did you get in any fights with any tigers or wolves or anything?
No, just with Antonio because I'm hungry and I want him to bring me food. Ah. Bring me tacos, damn it.
Yeah.
All right. So where we last left off, we find that Rom had made a dying promise to his father that he would return back to his village with a weapon for everybody, you know, to, I guess, continue on the revolution. At Beam's public flogging, Rom attempts to persuade him to recant his actions. Beam chooses flogging instead. Beam sings in defiance of his injuries, inciting the assembled crowd into rebellion. The riot further enlightens Rom, who finally recognizes his reckless actions. Determined to save Beam, Rom persuades Scott to execute Beam in secrecy while preparing an ambush to rescue him. However, Scott figures out the scheme. While rescuing Molly from Scott's men, Rom is grievously injured. Beam, who freed himself, mistakenly interprets Rom's actions as an attempt to kill Molly. He bludgeons him and escapes with her, leading to Rom's capture. Months later, Beam, who is hiding with his group and Molly in Hothras, is cornered by the colonial authorities. He narrowly escapes being exposed when Rom's fiancée, Sita, repels them by claiming there is a smallpox epidemic.
Did anybody else think that
Sita was beautiful? Yes.
He had killed him?
Oh.
I did.
Oh, yeah, she was beautiful. Or she is beautiful.
Sita was gorgeous. Oh, my God. Her eyebrows were perfect. Yeah, she was beautiful. When they were fighting, just before he gets away with Molly, I thought he had actually killed him when he went down. And I was like, I literally gasped aloud. And then when that next scene came, I was like, oh, why'd you do that to me?
Yes, me too. I thought he had actually gone through with it. No, what I was going to say is when Scott, a.k.a. Ray Stevenson, may he rest in peace, when he was in the car and he discovers that he's being double crossed and he sees that palm tree kind of leaning forward and he's like, oh, shit, they're about to fuck me up. And the palm tree falls on the car and the car is getting flipped and he's in the air and he catches the fucking rifle. And I was like, ay-yay! I was like, what the? Now he's super soldier.
Yes.
What is he standing on? Because he grabs the rifle and he looks like he's standing on something and he aims and he shoots.
Yeah.
Is it the car flipped?
He's standing on the air. He's just she's just part of his super soldierism.
Yeah, it's he's going so fast through the air that it's causing a lot of air resistance that he can stand on.
I was just like, because I knew the other two guys had these special powers, but I did not know that he had it. So I was like, I was impressed.
Everybody. Yeah. Everybody got a little bit of it.
I don't know what he shot on the car because the car flipped weird too. The one that he shot, it just all of a sudden it just went to the side. So that was a little odd too.
Yeah, they both flipped, right? And then the Molly, she shoots out and then Raju's also, what? Raju, right?
Raju, Ram, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ram. They both shoot out of the car and they're both fine because Molly's just running through the fields trying to get away from everybody. Yeah. And I was like, wow, man, these people have some great
bone density.
Yes, everything.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Molly didn't have like some Matrix powers also, you know? Because like apparently everybody else in this movie does.
Right. Maybe they kick in after puberty. Just wait. Maybe that's like RRR2.
That's going to be her, right? She's going to be starring it.
Yeah.
Also, I thought that was brilliant that Sita right away, she thinks, oh, smallpox. And she uses that to, you know, she knows that these people are going to get caught. And she uses that right away, like as an excuse to get the British soldiers away from there.
Yes. That was very smart of her.
Yes, that was really smart thinking on her part.
Yeah, knowing me, I'd be like, oh my God, stay away. Everybody has mumps or something. Like, checking your throat.
Going back to the where Beam's being publicly flogged, Ram is whipping the shit out of him. And then Catherine comes out with that whip. She's like, use this one. And it's got like those spikes. So do it on the post first. She hits the post and it rips like pieces of the wood out and shit.
I know. I was like, what a bitch this lady is. They definitely enjoy seeing them suffer. Like it was, oh, that was terrible.
Yeah, it was really rough.
And then poor Jenny's having to like watch him get beaten and stuff. And then they're like, oh, Lady Scott's like, oh, there's not enough blood. I'm not seeing enough blood on him. And that's why she tossed that whip. But that guy has some mad skills, man, with that whip. He's like, whop, whop,
shit. He's like Indiana Jones and shit.
I know.
Yeah.
You guys could have your own episode just talking about him and his mustache.
I really could.
Right? His mustache, his whip skills were like,
I could, yeah.
I think it's funny because the way that the British, they see the Indians, they see them as being like animals. You know, because even like Catherine, when they're at the very beginning, where she first sees Molly, she's like, oh, I want her on my wall. So that's why they steal her. But really, if you look at the ones that are animals, I guess, like the ones that are the least human, it's the British, you know, just how savage they are.
Oh, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, especially when they killed Raju's brother. I was like, why are you shooting a poor kid? That's what made me cry first. And then the mom obviously reacting and then she gets shot. Oh my God. It was gut wrenching.
Except Jenny. Jenny was the only one that was good.
Yes. Yeah. Jenny was the only one with a heart. Mm-hmm. Truly civilized.
I think at one point they were referred to as monkeys, weren't they? Because there was like a part where somebody said, so-and-so, they don't know anything. Even the monkeys aren't talking. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then I put notes that they, I think when they took her, they called her brown rubbish, or they called him brown rubbish, all of them, in the beginning.
Trash. That's so sad. Yeah. And I think the worst part is, you know that they were really talked about like that. Like, that's the part that's really more infuriating, is it is absolutely based on some truth. All that stuff, you know, it's frustrating.
Yeah. I don't know if it's discussed in the next plot point here. But when you learn that Ram basically kills his own father by blowing up some explosives that are in his back, like you realize, like, man, this guy, like, he's hardcore and he's all about the mission. And I think that that's why it was so hard for him to see that, you know, he was so focused on his mission that, you know, he completely betrayed Beam, who everything he did, he pretty much did for him, even like saving his life.
I remember feeling a little conflicted when he picked up the gun. And they were doing the flashback and he picked up a gun so young. And the dad is kind of like telling him, like, all right, it's time for you to, you know, I don't know. I was like, OK, I know this is going to be for like the greater good. But I was like, he's only a child. You know, it was rough to watch. Yeah.
But he was a child with a gift. And that was something that the sister had told the dad, like, look at what he did. Look at his...
his skills, yeah, his marksmanship or whatever, yeah.
And it was right before that happened. Luckily, they just happened to happen that way, right?
Well, that was Sita that told him about the skills. That was young Sita.
Oh, it was. Oh, I thought it was a sister. It's because I guess he says, like, look at what brother did. But I guess that's how they refer to each other, right? Because I think at the end, Beam calls Sita sister or something like that.
Yeah, he does.
So it's either auntie or sister.
Yeah, it's kind of confusing some of the words that they use. Because even Beam, like the people that he was staying with, he referred to him as like my father and my mother, my brother and sister. But then there's another scene where he says that it's like complete strangers that let him stay there with him. So like he was like scared of revealing who he was and putting their life at risk. So I think that it might just be the way that they speak. They refer to people as brothers and sisters. Maybe like the whoever's like the father figure, they refer to as father, and the mother figure, mother.
Yes.
Yeah, in one of those really early flashbacks, you see where Sita was always hanging around and the mom, who was also beautiful, the mom was like, oh, she's not, I don't know if she's going to be my daughter-in-law, but I already consider her my daughter. So I remember thinking, oh, okay, she's like a family friend, but obviously like, you know, close as family.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did not catch that. It was probably when I was talking to Elias or telling him not to do something. Stop it. Don't do that.
Right. So unaware of Beam's identity, Sita reveals Rom's anti-colonial objectives and his impending execution. Crestfallen, upon realizing his folly, Beam vows to save him. With Jenny's sympathetic assistance, Beam infiltrates the barracks where Rom is detained and frees him. The pair retreat to a nearby forest where they decimate soldiers with a longbow taken from a Rama shrine and a spear, which also like, why would they have like real bow and arrow on a shrine? But anyway, taking the fight to Scott, they hurl a flaming motorcycle into the barracks, magazines sitting at a fire. Beam steals a cache of guns for Rom before the barracks are destroyed. The subsequent explosion kills many soldiers and Catherine. Cornering a wounded Scott, Rom has Beam execute him with a British rifle, fulfilling their respective objectives. Rom is reunited with Sita, and Beam is reunited with Jenny and his family. To mark the mission's successful completion, Rom asks Beam to make a wish he can grant. Beam asks Rom to provide education for him and his community.
So Jenny ended up staying with him? Because I think I missed that part.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I understood, I guess, towards the end when they started doing like the dance scene.
Uh-huh.
She was, like, I guess, like with his family.
Yeah, it looked like they were reunited at the end. They were all reunited and lived happily ever after. And then they did this chole, chole, echele, chole.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, Sandra be his teacher, didn't it? You know, would you be my teacher?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was really sweet. Dude, this whole movie was really, really great. It was such a beautiful ending. I was like, oh my God, I love the way they wrapped up every single plot line. It was great.
It was.
Yeah, my favorite scene was... I guess to add to the bromance, the Rom bromance here, when he came out with like the long hair and the bow and arrow and shit, and he was just like,
oh, yeah.
He was like Green Arrow or some shit, like just, he had the endless supply of arrows, just like taking out people like two or three at a time, you know, just like all the craziness. And especially he had a broken leg, but apparently like he miraculously recovered the time yeah. that Beam was carrying him on his shoulders.
On his shoulders, yeah.
He miraculously recovered. Yeah.
That scene was crazy too.
I tell you, they were like super soldiers. They would like recover so quickly. It's crazy. Oh, but he looked so great with the bow and arrow. Wow.
He did. And then one of the times that he was like that, I was like, oh. But I also, that was a big surprise that he was even good at archery. I was like, I didn't even remember seeing a scene where he was practicing archery. Like, homeboy's just good at everything. All right. Cool.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. He has to be.
Yeah, of course he is. His hair is always like amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. There was a shot where when it was shorter that there was like wind and it was just like so shiny and luxurious and it was just blowing in the wind and you couldn't even see his scalp. Because he had so much hair, like it's so thick. And I'm like, man, this guy takes his vitamins. Yeah. Like, I want to have hair like that. Jeez.
Like, I bet you he doesn't eat McDonald's. Damn it.
No, he probably doesn't.
I know. Just kidding.
Yeah. The scene where I guess like it was the day before Rom's was supposed to be executed, where he was like hanging from his arms and he's like doing pull-ups or whatever. And I think it was Scott that told him, why are you doing that if you're going to die tomorrow? And I was like, oh, yeah, this guy's not going to die if he's like doing pull-ups like on his last day or whatever.
Yeah.
He was even doing pull-ups when he was in that little, when they took him from there to that little, you know, he went to a smaller one, like a smaller cage. He was doing pull-ups in there too.
Yeah. Yeah, like the shoe that he was in or something. I don't know. It was like in some smaller, after they, like, they beat him ugly too in that scene. I was like, oh my God, he's going to die tomorrow. Can y'all just leave him alone?
Did you guys see the after credit scene? The post credits?
What? No, after the dancing, I saw the credits reel up, and then that was when I turned it off.
Oh yeah, so I didn't know there was anything post credits.
When Samuel L. Jackson recruits them to join the Avengers?
Exactly, that's what happened. Yep, that's it.
Okay, you got me.
Samuel Jackson, okay. Yeah, I was like, what? Oh my God. I was like, you guys, give me 5 minutes. We can pause this recording.
I know, I was like, hold on, let me fast forward.
Yeah, fast forward 3 hours.
The mustache gets recruited, not him.
I bet you one half goes like this with the archer.
You know, I was actually thinking that the whole time, Eli. I was like, the only thing that would make this movie perfect is to have Samuel L. Jackson come and recruit them.
Also, just on like a female side note, the costumes were really beautiful. Jenny's dresses were gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Even the dancing when they were wearing the saris. God, the saris are gorgeous. I was like, I don't know if it's cultural appropriation, but I really want one badly. They're so beautiful.
It looked great. Yeah. The colors, everything.
Yeah. So vibrant.
I enjoyed the part when they were doing their romance, and because you were talking about working out, when Beam had Ram on his shoulders and he's like doing squats with him. I was like, calmese.
And I think he was even smiling at one point. I was like, okay, if I was doing that, maybe with a small child or small people, or what are they called? Little people. Sorry. I was doing that with a little person. I don't know if I'd be smiling to be like,
yeah, no, that shit came easy to them.
Yeah.
That was like nothing.
Yeah, their quads and their glutes must be like hard as rocks.
I think they're just showing off at that point.
Yeah. Yes. For sure.
Like, I think after like 5 minutes of Molly being on my shoulders, I would have tapped out. These guys were like running and doing like flips, like with another grown ass man, like a 200 pound grown ass man on his back.
Even when they were walking out and they were having that big fight in the big British Palace or whatever, and he had Ram on his shoulders, and he's like, you know, cocking the guns even, and he's laying back all Matrix style. I was like, what? This looks so amazing. But also, how is this guy being able to hold him up? It was so nuts.
There's also that scene when when right after the animals attack, you know, that night scene.
Yeah.
And he's pulling him up with one arm. He has one arm. And he's pulling him up with one arm, and it's ridiculous. He's pulling him up.
Yeah, and the thing was so thin. It would look like a little tiny necklace. I'm like, what is that thing made out of?
Oh, yeah. It looked like a lock of hair. What was that?
It was that, was it the thing he put on him when he got bit by a snake?
It looked like a rat tail.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
I thought it was a rat tail. I was like, what the heck is going on now?
Yeah, I remember they told him, don't take it off. You're not going to be protected, or I don't know, something.
Yeah.
I think it's like those sogas that you use for the piñatas, like those yellow braided, whatever the hell those ropes are.
It's like a rope, yeah.
It's una soga.
It's funny.
Everything about this movie was crazy, but crazy in a good way. And Elena and I were talking a little bit before everybody came on, that I was so impressed by how amazing this movie was.
Mm-hmm.
It had everything.
It does. And it sounds like it's pretty much unanimous, right? Everybody thought this movie was much better than they anticipated.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
It was like an 11 out of 10 for sure.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch it again, but I want Antonio to watch it with me.
It's easy to recommend.
Yeah, I think we're going to have fun watching this movie. Because last time, we watched Velocipaster together. And we had a great time. But I didn't have time to watch this movie with him because I was like multitasking. But I think tonight I want to just like sit down, watch it, and like really get into it again.
Okay, teach us the steps when they're doing that nacho dance so we can do it.
The nacho.
At the next, yeah, at the, our next girl night out thing.
Yes, for sure. Our 80s themed dance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you guys watched the Oscars. I guess it was like 20, well, I don't know. Like, I guess it would have been like at the beginning of the year where Everything Everywhere All at Once won. But like the cast from RRR came out and they did that dance during the Oscars.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Oh, that's so cool. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and watch that for sure.
The last one at the end of the movie or which one?
Yes, I think it was the last one at the end of the movie. I don't remember because I hadn't seen the movie when I was watching the Oscars, but it was one of the dances because they did win an Oscar for like the best song in a movie. And that's when they brought them out.
Well, it would make sense if it's the end credits just because Sita comes out too in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she dances in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm going to go back and watch it.
The first dance seemed like very, very aggressive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were kicking. I was like, they're going to kick their legs out of their sockets.
Yeah, but they could really dance. I was impressed. I was like, wow. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. And honestly, like, I was expecting to see like pit stains or something like from all the dancing because they're dancing like in the middle of India, you know, where it's like hot as fuck. And I was wondering how many shirt changes they probably had to go through because their shirts always looked immaculate. There were no pit stains or anything.
True, true.
Yeah.
I did not even think of that.
I didn't either.
And now I'm going to watch the movie again. Like, where's the pit stain?
There were none. You will find none.
I'm going to be like, look, I'm going to prove you wrong.
Yeah. You know, come to think of it, I don't even know if they even got like sweaty. Did they even get sweaty on their face? Like they were, even when they were looking at each other.
Yeah.
They were in dirt too. There was no signs of dirt on them. And they were in dirt.
Yes. Very true.
So yeah. So they probably went through like maybe like 15 costume changes just for that one dance scene.
Probably.
I would love to know how long that took because wow.
And the way it was shot, too, was really, really good.
Yeah. First, they were over here, and then all of a sudden, it cuts, too, and then they're, like, near this fountain or something, and I was like, oh, my God, how big is this property?
And then their dancing is not just, like just little movements. I mean, they're, like, hardcore movements where they're, like, kicking and thrusting and stuff. I mean, yeah. I mean, now that you mention it, where were the pit stains?
Yeah.
Or the drops of dew on their face.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the irony was like that one like flamboyant guy that was all, I know how to do the salsa and the tango and like doing.
Oh, the flamenco.
Yeah, the flamenco. And he's like, what can you do? And he's like, oh, you want to see what we can do? And they go into like this whole like 15 minute song and dance routine.
Yes.
This whole production right there.
Oh, because he was a dick and he like tripped poor Beam.
Oh, hate that guy. She's like taking it personally over here.
I know. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah. No, it was frustrating.
Yeah.
But this is another thing that I really love about Bollywood movies is they make men dancing with men in just such a wonderful, normal, it's a normalized thing. It's not like here, I feel like guys would be all like, oh my God, or I don't know, maybe not all guys. And hopefully things are getting better and they could just appreciate it for what it is. Just two homeboys going at it at like, you know, dancing. Like that's so cool. But most movies do have a lot of that. And I think that's so wonderful to see how that's just normal over there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they just don't have the same cultural hangups that we have here in the US. Like I think for them, it's more normalized.
Yeah, here it's too much fucking ego. Like, let your ego go, people. Like, give me a fucking break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I don't know about you, Jose, but I don't think I would dance with another dude like that. If I could.
Maybe if it was you, Eli, I would. But like most other guys, I wouldn't, man.
Okay, let's try it.
I ship this right now.
You guys can do it on top of the bridge over the Llorona Lake. And then you guys can do your train scene.
Right. You balance it out. You got the like fun dancing, but yeah, you got this hardcore masculinity thing going on of that whole like train scene. Yeah.
But you guys got to expect, I'm going to have pit stains. So for sure, that's I'm going to have pit stains.
Hey, that's just the name of the game, baby. We don't even try to pretend.
I have pit stains just thinking about doing those dance moves, so.
I'll grow my mustache out for it, too.
Woo! Yes, there we go. Do it.
Eli Rum.
Yeah, I already got the bean beard, so. I'm already set.
Oh, Beam did have curly hair too. Oh man.
I liked when he was trying to court Jenny and then Raj was like grooming him.
He's like starts trimming his beard. I'm waiting for you guys to like groom each other. How cute. How cute was that? And then he put the pomade.
I draw the line at dancing.
You don't want three flowers? You don't want three flores?
Like this, Flores, exactly.
Nah, fam, I'm good.
Like he did.
Oh man, I don't know if I could carry you on my back, dude. I lack upper body strength, so.
I think we'd have to CGI that part, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. He's like, this doll represents Eli, so I'm gonna put him on my back.
So any final thoughts that y'all want to add? Anything you were hoping that we would cover, but we didn't?
It's a lot of movie to talk about in a short time because it's a 3-hour movie and there's a lot of stuff that happens.
There's a lot of subplots going on, which is why I think it was so long, but I don't think it was to the point where it was, if they would have tried to make it any shorter. I mean, maybe the bromance montage now that you mentioned it, but I don't think they would have been able to capture all the detail that we needed. So I do think it was appropriately 3 hours long. It was great.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, for sure.
And women or men, if you're into that kind of thing, you got to run and go watch some Rama Raju. Ooh. For sure.
Boys. Yeah.
Hey, there's plenty of eye candy for us guys, too. You have Sita. Yeah. And Jenny's really cute, so.
Sita was beautiful, and Sita's mom, or I don't know, or the other mom, I don't know. She was really beautiful, too.
I would have danced for Jenny and probably fought some animals, too, for her. So.
Aw, that's so cute. That's adorable.
Yeah. See, letting go of that ego already. I love it.
Oh. Yeah, she was really pretty. And just everything, mm-hmm. just from like a artistic and stylistic viewpoint, everything was gorgeous. The cinematography was amazing. Every shot.
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
Again, when I saw this, I was like, this reminds me of a Zack Snyder film where every scene looks like art.
Yeah, definitely was art.
Yeah. And then just on the side note, since I was watching the costumes and stuff like that, at the very tail end where they're doing the different scenes of the different groups dancing, Jenny, if you notice, because she was more like on the British side, she didn't wear a traditional sari, but the print and everything else looked like it. So I did like that even whoever the costume designer was changed it up enough to know, okay, this is still a little bit different and it's still a little bit maybe more modern, but you can clearly see it was still like a sari. Oh, it was so beautiful.
Oh, cool. I'll make sure to pay attention.
Yeah, it's a beautiful halter. I want that halter.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was just watching it at the very end right here when I was logging in. I was like, hold on, I'm still watching it.
Oh, no. It's fresh in my mind, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, I wish that I would have made time to watch it again this morning. Because like you were saying, Ellen, I definitely want to see it again.
Yeah, I think that's going to be our movie night tonight for sure.
Oh, cool. Well, tell us if you catch anything that we missed or something. You know, like a second time around.
Will do.
I think it's one of those movies where you have to watch it more than once to catch everything.
Yeah, because there's a lot of detail for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think next time that I watch it, I'm going to do it without the subtitles and I'll try and do it just with the English. So that way I'm not distracted by reading the subtitles and I can just focus on the imagery. Because I did catch myself doing that a lot too. Since I was reading, I would have to rewind it to rewatch the scene because I would see something that would be like visually appealing. So after I would read what they were saying, I would go back and just watch it. So maybe I'm going to try watching it like that with just the English dub so that way I don't miss anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched the English and I still feel like I absolutely got the gist of everything. So I think you'll still be fine.
Cool. Well, thank you so much again for joining us, Eli.
Thank you guys for having me.
You're very welcome. Where can people find you, or do you even want to be found?
Also, that sounds very scary. Where can we find you?
Well, I have an Instagram and that's pretty much all I have. You can find my stuff through you guys' IG stuff or on your I'm one of your followers, so if anybody wants to follow me, you can find me there.
We'll definitely tag you on the socials for this episode as well.
And my OnlyFans failed, so that went downhill.
Oh,
I was going to ask you about your OnlyFans and your enchilada dinner. How did the enchilada dinner go to raise money for Velasa Pastor?
That's funny.
I only raised 175, so that's still something. But I used it, so. Oh.
You had to pay off all the material, right?
Yeah.
You got to let the mustache grow out. That's why.
Oh, yeah. Then maybe the OnlyFans will work after that.
And the enchilada dinner. No, just kidding.
Oh, that too.
What's something that you've been enjoying recently, whether it's a book, a show, a movie?
I've been watching a lot of stuff on Apple TV Plus. Surprisingly, there's a lot of good stuff. It's not a lot of stuff, but there's the stuff that they do come out with is pretty good. I'm watching one called Masters of Air. It takes place like before or during World War One with the fighter planes and the bombers. It's a period piece in that, you know, that time. It comes out with the guy that plays Elvis, that actor that plays Elvis in the movie.
Austin Butler.
Yeah, so it's hard to pull him out. I see Elvis when he's on the screen. So it feels like Elvis is in that show. But that's a really good show. And then also watching Constellation. It just started because it's like a sci-fi thriller, drama type of thing. But that's pretty good. But there's tons of stuff that I've been watching. So trying to keep up with everything.
I've heard about that one. And I do have Apple TV because I have the MLS season pass. Because I'm a huge Messi fan. So when Messi came to MLS, I've been watching all the matches. And I've got to take advantage of watching some of the shows. Because I do hear that Constellation is real good. And there's another one that I think it was done by, I don't remember his name anymore.
There's one from M. Night Shyamalan, too.
Oh, yeah. I did hear about that one. Is that one good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. A lot of their shows are pretty good, actually. They're worth watching. A lot of them are new, so they don't have a lot of seasons. Like, they maybe have one or two seasons, but they're pretty good.
That might even be better because it was like when people were trying to get me on this Game of Thrones thing. I'm like, oh my God, I have so many seasons to catch up on. Like, it felt like it was a runaway train. You know, I was like, nah, I can't catch up. So one or two seasons, that's awesome then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of these shows are new. And like, they only have one or two seasons, but a lot of them are pretty good. They're worth watching.
There was another science fiction one that I was trying to remember what it was called. And I'm trying to look it up here on Apple TV.
Was it about space?
Yes, it starts with an I.
Oh, I'm thinking of another one. There's a few of them that are about space that are on Apple TV. There's another one too that it takes place like in a different timeline than us. So different things happen in our timeline.
The one about the Kennedy, like the space program, then like John F. Kennedy's brother that gets elected as president or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I heard that one is good too.
Yeah. So it's a different, everything happens almost the same as our timeline, but it's just different people or small things change here and there. But that one's good. That one has four seasons right now. And that one's pretty good. I can't remember what it's called. It's called Burst something. I can't remember what it's called, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to look it up on Apple TV, but they have so many shows now that it's hard to find what I'm looking. Oh, I think it was called Foundation was the one that I... I knew it started with an I.
I was going to say...
You know what I was thinking? I, because it's Isaac Asimov.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The author.
Mm-hmm. That one's good, too. Then I don't know if you guys read a book series called Silo. It's like a futuristic show where something happened. They haven't said it yet, but something happens to the earth and they all live in this big silo. And the silo is like 100 feet or 100 stories. You know, it takes, they can't go from the top of the silo to the bottom of the silo in one day. They have to stop at some point and then take a break and sleep overnight there and then go back down to travel through it. That's a pretty good series. I'm watching that one too. It's based on 3 books.
That sounds super interesting.
Yeah, that does sound good.
So you're going to share your password with us then, Jose? Right.
I would have to log you guys in because it's like my actual Apple account. So like I have like, it's tied to like a bunch of different shit.
I think I might have some 3-month passes if you guys want them. I just got to look from, I was like, I buy something from Best Buy. They always give me a 3-month code thing. I just never use because I would just pay for it. But let me find them and I'll send it to you.
Oh, so kind. Yeah.
Thanks.
Also, honestly, like, I do want to thank you for this recommendation. It was really great.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's all Jose. That's Jose's the one that found it.
Well, I want to thank you both. How about that?
Yeah.
And I'm glad you did like it because I know when we talked about it like privately, you were like the descending voice for us not to do it.
Well, yeah, because I thought it was going to be another VelociPastor. I'm like, okay, we've already seen something like that. Let's watch something at least somewhat serious. And we did. Like it was like a real, you know, bigger budget type of movie.
The other one wasn't like that.
No, that's why it was a very different. So again, yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, this is different. Okay, let's do it.
Picture tigers doing karate. That's what this might would have been.
This is, yeah, exactly.
And honestly, if we could have found one that had subtitles, we would have done that one because that looked really good also. Good, like as in Velocipastor good.
So great.
Yeah, let's don't count me in on that one.
All right. Any shout outs or anything else you'd like to add or share?
Just a shout out to my mom because she listens to your guys' podcasts.
Oh, how sweet.
So my mom listens to you guys.
Mrs. Eli, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mrs. Eli.
And I'm glad that you enjoy the show. We haven't scared you off with our profanity.
Oh, I know. I know. Now I feel bad for all my swearing.
No, she likes the subjects because she likes to, there's stuff that she hasn't heard about. So the subjects and the topics you guys bring up, it's good. So she likes it.
Oh, good. Aww. Yay. That's awesome to hear.
Yes, for sure.
So thank you so much, Eli and Miss Eli.
Miss Mama Eli.
Yeah.
Yes. Special shout out to our super homie super friends, Sophia, Natasha, Eric, Angie, and Eli. Wonder if I should do Eli's name like that from now on. It'll probably get old really fast, huh? And Eli.
It's going to sound like you're upset with him. And Eli.
I'm just trying to use like all the vocal fry on that one.
Funny.
If you want to be super cool and help support the show, get the episodes a week early and ad-free. Get your name shouted out on the show and get some stickers from us a few times a year. Check us out at patreon.com/technicallyaconversation or check the show notes. Best of all, it's only $2 or 6 cents a day, as Elena likes to point out. You can't even buy a pack of cigarettes or a
Netflix.
Or a Netflix subscription.
To watch this, movie.
Tres Flores also. Maybe shout out to them.
Well, since you set us at Tres Flores, we hope that you enjoy the show and you join us again next week. If you're enjoying the show, leave us a review, tell a friend, and subscribe wherever fine podcasts are sold. Follow us on the socials at GreetingsTAC, email us at greetingstac@gmail.com,
or
leave us a voicemail at 915-317-6669. If you have a story of rebellion and revolution that you would like to share with us.
Or when you were taken, or your bromance.
That's what I was going to say, your bromance. Share your bromance stories with us. Yes, I know that Antonio and Moses have one.
Or how about just when you danced, men, when you danced with another man, come on, and just made it normal. Cool. I'm holding out hope, guys.
Don't hold your breath.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Elena.